Welcome to First Nation Ministries. Today we're bringing you a classic broadcast from our founder, Reverend Don Klein.
I love to tell the story.
This is the voice of First Nation Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indian tribes of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Now here's the director of First Nation Ministries, Reverend Don Klein.
Hello there, neighbor. We're praising God and thanking Him, and we're moving closer to Him all the time. The way you get closer to God really isn't just getting blessed. You learn more in the valley sometime than you learn on the mountaintop while you're shouting the praises. But whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And He said that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So if we feel the hand of God upon us, why, we've got some work to do. And we're all experiencing that. I've never gotten away from it, God, and I wouldn't want to get away from it. I remember my old daddy. I look back on it, and I had an awfully, a very fine dad, and he didn't know Jesus. But his old dad was too hard on the kids, and he had a different way of doing it. If you were bad during the day, he'd say, well, you're going to get a licking tonight. And you had to think about it all day. That was almost torture. And then he'd get the Bible down. Now, they weren't Christians. They didn't know. They were never had confessed their sins and been forgiven, and they weren't, but they was walking in the light they had. It's an old pioneer family. They moved out here, and great-grandpa came with oxen and covered wagon way back there, and one of the first ones out. And actually, my granddad had inherited that ranch on Sophie's Island, and my great-grandpa was the first white man to have deeded land over there. And he did the best he knew how, and what his dad had taught him. The Bible was God's word. And that's one thing they hammered in, and they stood for it, and they was ready to fight for it. They liked a good religious fight. I don't know about that part of it, but I'm not their judge. And I hope they were doing the best they knew how. But my dad dreaded that so, and he whipped him so hard, brutally. He bruised him. He used a couple of leather straps that just were, they were bridle reins that Uncle Jess, my uncle, my dad's brother, just younger than he was, cut those reins off of one of the good bridles. And boy, Grandpa just saved that and used that for the whipping. And it was brutal. And Dad got so he would fold up a gunny sack and put in his overalls. And he felt so sorry for his little brother. And he said, I'll help you, but now you got to cry. And he put a flour sack. He got a flour sack because he's a little boy. And gunny sack had bulged too much. And he said, now don't you forget, you cry and jump around and promise to be good. So that night when Uncle Jess got his whipping, he laughed. And he did, wow! Well, I've heard it told 1,000 times, and I've told you about it. But we laugh about it, but they were disciplined. And my dad learned to discipline us, but he never bruised us. He used a paddle sometime, but generally it was just his big old hand, and that did an awful nice job for him and us both. We didn't like it. We knew we'd been spanked. But he didn't take any delight in it, and he didn't put any religious twist on it or anything. It just, you have to mind your dad. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, and it's my responsibility to teach you to obey and obey the rules and to do what you're supposed to do. And I look back across my life, and I wasn't saved till I was 16, and I didn't get around to get straight preaching till, well, I was not in my teens yet when I first heard it, but I didn't know about it. We had some religious relatives. Their name was Fogg. There's quite a prominent family in the evangelical church out here in Oregon, Ed and Emma, and their son Charles after that. And they took us to a camp meeting, and I remember it was down at Canby, and it was a tent, and I didn't know about that. They're so different people and all, and my dad, he didn't buy it all, but he went there, and we didn't go back. But across the years, God got a hold of me, and God had been working on my old daddy, and I got the joy of seeing him pray through and find the Lord, and my mama had found God already and led the way, but I'd learned to obey them. And when I went away to Bible school, it was no job to go there. They had rules. I'll tell you, they had rule book there. It was something. They were conservative old Methodists, and they told you what you could wear and couldn't wear and how you should fix your hair and how long your sleeves should be and a lot of other stuff. And I didn't understand it all, but I'd learned you obey the rules. That's the law. Obey it. And I did, and I didn't have any problem over it. And God showed me some things in my life he wanted me to do. But I tell you, neighbor, they call it convictions. If you have some convictions, make sure you're getting them from God. And be a little careful about shoving your convictions off on everybody else, or else you question their religion. That's a pitfall the devil gets us in. And I refer you back, and I do it again, to that old thief on the cross. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't get time to dress right or do this or do the other thing or change his vocabulary. I don't know. He'd mock the Lord. But there on the cross, he said, "Lord, remember me." And he rebuked his partner over on the other cross, the other thief, and said, "We're getting what we deserve." He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom." And the Lord said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Praise God. And paradise was the abode of the righteous. It wasn't heaven. They debate whether it was a corner of heaven or where, but let's not argue about that. You look in your dictionary, it says paradise is in heaven or in hell. And probably, I presume, it's more likely to be in the neither world or down there. It wasn't in the fiery part of hell, but nobody went to heaven till Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was the only way to God and righteousness. And the Old Testament people looked ahead, and they sacrificed lambs, and they made their blood sacrifices. It was all typical. It was pointing to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I don't trouble the Indians with all this because they don't understand, and I keep them pretty much in the New Testament. What must I do to be saved? You have to confess your sins. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to let him have control of your life, and he'll correct you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And that's the way we learn. And I do some things beyond what God says, because if meat causes my brother to stumble, I'm not going to eat meat. That's what the scripture says, but it isn't teaching that we shouldn't eat meat in this day and age, but you can apply it to a lot of things. And we should be careful of one another and what we believe. So, neighbor, that's what we're preaching to the Indians. And I want to bring you up to date. God is really helping, and we're so glad for H2O out there at Dallas, Oregon, that Help to Others organization. Bless their heart. It's just wonderful the way Lena and Janice, two of the dear ladies out there that love God, and they they've been helping down through the years, but they're getting more excited about it, and they're getting in on it more and more. And Brother Marv Betcher had a big hand in that, and we're so glad for what's coming out of it. And you pray for them and their work, and thank God that they're so generous with the things they're getting. They're giving number 10 cans, and they're saving up the good clothes and things that that they don't particularly need as bad as they feel the Indians need it. And so it goes. And neighbor, I want to tell you right, look me square in the eye. It's growing. It's going. And it's God that's the power back of it all. As we humble ourselves before God, as we get in contact with Him, and as He corrects us, and neighbor, let me tell you something. We will never get where we don't need the hand of God on us, and we'll never get down here where we don't need the correction of the Lord, the chastening, because that's the way we draw close. So you're going through some deep trials, finances, physical, spiritual, family troubles, children, parents, loved ones, whoever, take it to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this classic First Nation Ministries broadcast with our founder, Reverend Don Klein, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. The ministry also has another need, help with our operating expenses, including radio airtime. Radio has proven to be an excellent way to share our message, and yet there is a cost involved, and it can add up rather quickly. And that's why we ask you, our committed listener, to help us with our radio expenses. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. Thank you so much.
I love to tell the story.
You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.